WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of our WNST Wise conversations brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. Want to remind everybody we have Giving Tuesday coming up next week. Our friends at Wise, we're rounding up for that. I did it myself the other day. And we're getting ready for the Gobble Gobble. So make sure you get out, get your turkey, get your eggnog together. I'm going to have some kielbasa and sauerkraut. My wife got some green beans, might get a little casserole on that. But I'm going out of the box this year, man. I'm going broccoli au gratin. I might even mix some Brussels sprouts into this thing. We got a nice little recipe on that that might taste nice next to the turkey. But this guy's all about tradition this week. And we had the tradition of defensive, hard-nosed, cold, windy sandbox football in Chicago, Illinois. Luke, be honest, you know, you didn't miss going to that one. You went 8 years ago. You're like, the tornado. I'm out of Chicago. I'm done. Running the football in the sandbox, kicking the football in the sandbox as well, but specifically running. While I was out in the friendly heart of the Midwest, I saw some Iowa jerseys. There was a whole bunch of Purdue going on. Purdue played Northwestern at Wrigley Field on Saturday. Football game at Wrigley Field. I mean, kind of cool. Actually, it was cold because it was Chicago. And I thought about Marshall Yanda, you know, with the Iowa connection. And I thought about, you know, the real mark of a Hall of Famer is irreplaceable. Can't replace him, you know. And some love to Kevin Zeitler and his family and friends in Waukesha, Wisconsin, after the tragedies on Sunday night. I caught that he texted that out as well. But and no knock on him or any of these offensive linemen, but right now, the running backs, the offensive line, you toss in a backup quarterback who's a little erratic with the ball, and the ball was sailing all over the place on him. Routes look clean for the most part. They all look like they knew what they were. All on the same page. It was just about, you know, alignment, assignment, and then technique. Then you got to follow through. But the running game, dude. The running game. Second and 12, not going to do it. Third and 9, not going to do it. Third and 12, third and 15. Down a distance, man. And they're just not running the ball well. And with or without Lamar, to your point. And defense, breakdown, Westry, playing young guys, all of that. They got to run the ball. If they're going to win, they got to run the ball. And they got to do it now. And they got to be able to do it in January.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to disagree with you on that. I mean, I think especially with the weather turning, I think that's going to be something that they're going to have to do better. I think you do look at the silver lining of Patrick McCurry returning, even though he had his issues at times and even left the field, although he came back shortly thereafter. But having him at right tackle, you know, Ben Cleveland's back in the picture. Tyree Phillips now not at right tackle anymore. Does he become an option at left guard over Ben Powers? But, you know, we can talk about these moving parts. We can talk about the fact that, yeah, they don't have J.K. Dobbins. They don't have Gus Edwards. And those guys are way better than what they have right now. That's just reality. But they've got to find a way to be more productive. The one thing I will say, I do think the running game, while you look at the final numbers, I mean, what, 123 yards, 3.6 yards per carry. Most of that was Huntley in terms of efficiency. But their running game, at the very least, was functional enough that they were able to sustain some drives. I mean, look at the time of possession. I think it's important to note that. Look at the fact that even with Lamar Jackson, they have not been very good on third down this year. Well, they were 7 of 16 on Sunday. Now, a couple of those were actually some third and long, some third and longs that they actually converted through the air. But they did pick up 9 first downs via the rush. Is that great? Is that anything close to where they've been the last couple of years? Of course not. Is that at least functional, especially in a setting where you're facing a defense that, let's face it, is expecting you to run the ball more when it's Tyler Huntley and not Lamar Jackson? I'd say, yeah, begrudgingly. I'm not going to give it a big endorsement, but I thought it was a passing grade at the very least, which, hey, when you're in that scenario with all those players hurt, you'll take it. But in the big picture, I am in agreement with you. We've seen Lamar do so much running. He's fantastic at it, right? You'd love, whether it's Murray, whether it's Devontae Freeman, whether it's Tyson Williams getting out of the doghouse eventually, or even if it's Nate McCrary from the practice squad, who, by the way, I think he had a chance to get elevated this week until everything happened that they didn't have the roster flexibility to do it because they needed to bring Trace McSorley up from the practice squad, for example. But you know, whether it's any of those guys stepping forward, and you know, in fairness to him, Devontae Freeman over the last month, you know, 4 or 5 games has looked much better than he did early on, where he was kind of looking a little more Le'Veon Bell like, you know, for lack of a better description. But they've got to figure out a way to be more consistent in that way. There's no question. And while I don't think this team's formula for a Super Bowl was running it 45 times like 2 years ago, because quite frankly, Lamar Jackson can throw the ball and they have good receivers now. And I think they can throw, and they can throw much better than they did a couple years ago. But you want to be able to have the balance. You want to be multiple. You don't want to become one dimensional. I mean, we all remember what the Ravens did in the second half of that Indy game where the Colts shut down their run, but Lamar Jackson throws 4 touchdowns. Well, you can't expect that every single week. And frankly, we've seen Lamar's numbers. Now, clearly didn't play Sunday, but since that Indy game, his passing numbers haven't been quite as good. And, you know, he's turned it over a little bit more than you'd like to see. But the offensive line plays a big part in that as well. And that's really what it comes back to. I mean, these running backs, you know, we've talked about it with these vets. They're typically going to get what you block, you know, right? You know, you block for 6, they're going to get you 6. You block for 4, it's going to be 4. If you block for 2, it's going to be 2. They're not going to hit home runs like J.K. Dobbins or Gus Edwards even can. But they need their offensive line to be more consistent in that way, and they need to be able to protect. I mean, as much as you talk about running the ball, I was much more concerned with, I mean, it's not like Tyler Huntley was dropping back a ton. But, you know, he gets sacked 6 times. He gets hit a bunch. He escaped the pocket plenty of times, like we see Lamar Jackson. And that was a Bears front that didn't have Khalil Mack or Akeem Hicks. I mean, you know, that was not a full strength Bears pass rush there. So from that standpoint, you know, again, we can pick on the running backs and look, they don't have a lot of juice. I'm not going to sit here and try to oversell what they can do at this point, but it does come back to needing that offensive line to play better. But a big part of that is these guys need to stay on the field and play together. And if they can do that, maybe they can find some rhythm. If you can recall, the Ravens at this point last year, we were talking about the running game, maybe not to this degree, but it wasn't quite the overwhelming group it had been the year before. But go look at what they did over the last 5 games where they went nuts running the ball. Difference here, of course, is you don't have J.K. Dobbins leading the way in that regard. But I'm in agreement with you. They have to be able to run the ball you know, better than they have at this point if you really want to have confidence that they're going to be able to go on a run where they can, you know, that they can handle some of these, you know, all these games against winning teams. You got to be able to have balance. And that's something at times they have not had this year, that's for sure.
Well, sustaining drives in 3rd and long. You're just not going to do that, especially not with your backup quarterback, but not even with Lamar. There's only so many rabbits you have in that hat. Now, to your point, the efficiency's better than that, but you still don't want to be in those situations. You don't want to get the 3rd down, and we talk about that all the time. This team is operating optimally when they're not in 3rd down ever. But to your point, this isn't the 19 team, and they're not going to go down the field, and they don't have the Gus Bus to give the ball to the last 20, 25 minutes of a game. That we miss that, you know what I mean? You know, that finisher in that way from the running game, and then the offensive line to be able to pick a lunch pail up. And when I say the offensive line, to your point, this is different than it was 4 weeks ago, than it was 8 weeks ago. It's just different. And different players are a part of this at this point. Le'Veon Bell's no longer on the good ship purple, right? So, you know, they've already thrown guys out because it's not good enough, or as John would say, below the bar, right?
Yeah, and I think that's where you have to get creative. And that's where I do look at Sunday's game and I see, hey, Tyler Huntley threw to Devontae Freeman for 6 catches, 31 yards. Now, that's not great production. You know, you'd like to see a running back, you know, be up in the, let's say 7 or 8 yards per catch at the very least, you know, kind of go back to what Ray Rice was way back when and Joe Flacco checking down to him. But you know, that was a different wrinkle. We've seen some different wrinkles with Devin Duvernay where, you know, they'll run some of the jet sweeps, jet motion, things of that nature and get him the ball in open space. I think they're going to have to do those things. Cause again, I don't know if you can just line up in a conventional way and just say, yeah, we're going to give Devontae Freeman 16 carries and we're going to give Latavius Murray 12 carries and You know, maybe we'll throw in some carries at Tyson Williams or Nate McCrary or whoever, but they're going to have to be more creative. And by the way, they ran the ball differently last year than they did in 2019. You know, we saw them do different things with J.K. Dobbins that they did not do with Mark Ingram. I mean, he was motioning across the formation, much more of the, you know, inverted veer and outside runs and things of that nature that you know, they didn't do with Mark Ingram the year before because they had Marshall Yanda and they had a completely healthy Ronnie Stanley, and they don't have that right now. I mean, let's face it. I was just mentioning, the silver lining of getting Patrick McCary back. Patrick McCary was supposed to be the super utility guy on this line. And now I'm talking about him, and rightfully so, because he's played well in that role, but talking about getting him back at right tackle, like it's a really big deal. And it is relative to where they are, but it just speaks to what they've lost. I mean, mention the offensive line, be remiss to not mention that, they have $100 million left tackle who played one game this year and has played, one game going back to the beginning of last November because of a serious ankle injury. And that's tough. You know, I mean, it was a big deal when the Ravens didn't have Jonathan Ogden, the rare times that he was injured in his career. And, you pay those guys big money because you love what they do as football players. And when they're not out there, you can talk all you want about next man up. You're going to have drop off. And it's not a big knock on Alejandro Villanueva. You know, you look at what the Ravens paid him. Look at what Pittsburgh, where they said farewell to him, despite the fact he had made some Pro Bowls for them. He's not the same player. And, you trade away Orlando Brown, you're not going to have the same player at right tackle. And Marshall Yanda retires. And, okay, you did get Kevin Zeitler, a year removed, but Kevin Zeitler is not Marshall Yanda. And, it's not a knock. I mean, we're talking about Hall of Fame caliber players or all pro caliber players in the case of Stanley. So it's challenging, but you can either just throw your hands up and just say, all right, well, they're not going to be good enough, and that's it. And, fans can have that mindset, but certainly the players aren't going to go home. The coaches aren't going to give up and go home. So you try to make the best of it. And that's where I said, you do have to use a little more creativity, and that's why, you'd like to see some more throws to the backs and some different things of that nature. And, we'll see if we continue to see it, but it was something that they used not to overwhelming success on Sunday. Cause again, I mean, this is a team that had 9 points until the last minute of the game, but they were able to cobble together enough of a running game to sustain some drives. Time of possession, they had a big advantage there, but there's gotta be more. And they know that. And that's what Greg Roman in this offense has been chasing for most of the season.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke and Luke at WNST.net. He will be in Owings Mills all week. All of our coverage brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast, tasty chicken and the gas and occasionally a little ice cream to come home with some Western fries as well. Although I'm cutting down this week because we're moving from chicken to turkey here for a couple of days. And then the leftovers that happen after that. Luke, I want to talk a little bit about Coach Harbaugh in the aftermath. I got question number one in regard to, his time in the league. And, I said this to Jen, over the weekend. We've never had a quarterback controversy here, right? During the whole Harbaugh era, really. I mean, yeah, the Flacco, Lamar thing in the San Diego game or whatever. I'll hear all of that. But playing the backup quarterback, Baltimore, I've been doing this a long time. The first 10 years, we were a backup quarterback city. Eric Zeier had to be better than Vinny Testaverde. And that Stoney Case, we got to give him the ball. And, let's give Anthony Wright a chance. And Wally Richardson, let's give him a start. And, I can go through all these guys are on my phone for crying out loud. The backup quarterback in places where your football team sucks is the most popular guy in town. And you call for him. It's not what we do around here. We win a lot of football games, as Joe once said. And a lot of years, I bet this would be a hell of a trivia question, dude. Ready? Name every backup quarterback of the Joe Flacco era. There'd be a lot of people that wouldn't remember John Beck or remember that Matt Schaub was here for a minute because they never walked on the field, literally. They never, ever played, right? So you're usually the historian about these things and quoting statistics. I'm doing this sort of off the top of my head, but I'm really thinking more about John's week, the organization's week, and the And even just watching Mike Tomlin lose late Sunday night, there's something about this steady hand ship of seen it all, done it all, beat the Steelers with Ryan Mallett one day. We're, you know, if Lamar, when the plane lands in Chicago, look, if Lamar doesn't go tomorrow, you know, we'll put Snoop in and we're going to go play and we're going to go win. And then you get – so I see these – and look – I'm always offended when a coach tells me God was on their side because God must not like the Bears. To me, that is, I mean, you can have your spiritual beliefs, but when you bring that to the podium, that God liked you better today than he liked, Justin Fields. You can do that every week if you want and, you know, in turning it into a Sunday sermon. But I would say there's something for John for me that this particular week, when they win a game like this, I'll say this, after the game, it took a long time for Harbaugh to get to the podium. There was a lot going on in the aftermath. They video, and I'm sure it'll be at Ravens.com this week, and you can check it all out on the lounge and all that. But this is the kind of win a guy like John really can build off of when look at all that went wrong and we won again because you hang in there. And, that's something about this group with John that I think you said something about the attribute to the coaches and all that stuff. Everybody's working hard. But then when your quarterback doesn't practice Wednesday and Thursday, comes out, to your point, you guys are out there asking him questions. He looked gung-ho. And then Saturday he's curled up in the fetal position on an airplane at 3:00 PM again. That, and then you win. And you're losing all day, and you're not playing well, and you win. That's something you build off of. And I think I don't say that much on Sundays that one has to do with another, and it's all one big algebra thing. It's, you get to the Super Bowl, it's trigonometry by the time you get there. But this was a building block for young players, even for the Westries and the Brandon Stevens who had hard lessons. It's a good win. It's a good win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think you have to be impressed with their moxie, their composure. Specifically Tyler Huntley, but they've done this year. And maybe it's part of it is also the Bears really stink. I mean, they stink. That's a bad football team. And I don't say that to be dismissive of the win. It's just I don't know if I buy that this is going to be like, oh my gosh, this is a major turning point. I think they've done, going back to the Kansas City game and what they faced in that game, knowing you're potentially starting the season 0-2 and Lamar throws a pick six on, the first drive of the game and everything that happened there. I just feel like they've done a lot of that this year. So I don't know if I come away from this one blown away from a team-wide standpoint as much as just, hey, you did do it without Lamar and it's backup quarterback and Huntley's okay. But at the same time, if they're going up against a team that I think is competent, I don't think they're winning the game on Sunday. So I don't know. And again, who knows? This league's crazy.
They almost and lost as to much the Lions, as I'm, but they didn't. They almost lost to the Vikings, but
they lost to the Dolphins. Yeah, of course. It's crazy. And I guess maybe that's the lesson. Maybe we need to stop trying to look at each of these games as though there's something really, really meaningful and you just take it for what it is. And that's, they are figuring out a way to just hang around and they might make some mistakes, but the other team tends to make one more mistake at the very end of the game, as was the case with the Bears when they bust the coverage with Sammy Watkins.
The field goal early in the game, that wasn't good for them. That was a chip shot field goal. You didn't make that kick.
Right. I mean, again, when I say this, I'm not being dismissive of what they did Sunday. It's just I expect them to make field goals, for example, when they have Justin Tucker. I expect them to, do what they've done, as far as their defense, other than the big plays. It's like, okay, they're going to give up a couple big plays inevitably, but they did keep them in the game. They did only give up 13 points, as much as we were talking about that. It's just, again, I don't, I'm not coming away from this game thinking that, oh, I think this is a super, and I'm not suggesting that you were saying that either, you know, because we were just talking about wondering if this team, I think they're pretty good. I don't know if they're better than that. But again, in fairness, and that's not a knock on them, that's the entire AFC right now. I think the NFC has a couple teams where you could say they're really good. You know, I really, you know, you want to talk about winning with backup quarterbacks, look at Arizona right now and what they've done. At the same time, you know, the Ravens weren't just missing Lamar Jackson. They were missing Marquise Brown, and they were missing all the guys that are on IR, and they were missing Jimmy Smith and Anthony Averett and Brandon Williams, who hasn't played since the bye week. And so the cumulative effect, yeah, I mean, it's been impressive, but it's been impressive all year long, I guess, is my point. I mean, there wasn't, if they had ran for 250 yards on Sunday, or if their defense had given up 3 points and hadn't given up two long touchdowns like we've seen them do too often, you know, maybe I'd feel a little bit differently about it in that way. You know, I think it's a nice win, but I'm also not going to make too much out of, oh my goodness, you had to play with your backup quarterback and you figured out a way to beat the Bears. You know, I mean, it's, to your point, it's been rare that they've been in this position, but good teams will figure out a way to win some games here and there with a backup quarterback. Now, you lose your guy for the season, not, you know, you lose your guy for 6 weeks, not talking about that, but, you know, good teams, if they have a good program, good coaching, relatively good roster at the very least, if you have a competent backup, you should be able to beat a bad team, you know, here or there in that scenario. And that's where I wasn't, you know, maybe quite as shocked. And I'd also say again, and Tyler Huntley talked about this after the game, the fact that he was able to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday as the starter. So this wasn't a case where Lamar had just woken up Sunday morning and had a terrible flu or food poisoning or something like that. And you just say, all right, he's down. And then you're talking about a guy who didn't get any reps. So there was, you know, they were able to prepare for this a little bit. But that said, and this is where I will say, maybe more so than proving themselves as a football team, I think one, they were able to keep their spot in the hierarchy and actually move up, you know, because via Buffalo and Tennessee losing. And also, I think they needed an emotional lift after what happened against Miami. And if you do think about the alternative here, if they had lost, even though it's not an AFC game, so it wouldn't have killed you that much in the standings in the big picture, and you have five division games coming up, so really wouldn't have been that big of a deal in the standings. But I think from a psychological standpoint, you lose to Miami, you have this, you lose Lamar Jackson the morning of the game. Boy, I think there's a tendency to think at that point, you know what? We've had this mojo with these close games and coming back. Is it too much at this point? Is it starting to catch up with us? And no one says that consciously, but I think that leaks into the back of your mind. So I think fighting that off as much as anything else, yeah, that can help them. But I just don't know if I can look at this with sincerity and think that this is going to be some turning point, major moment in their season. I'm going to need to see a more improvement in those deficiencies that we've seen really all year before I'm ready to go there. But hey, starting Sunday night against Cleveland, a Browns team that looks really bad at times, but they've looked really, really good at times as well. You know, that go out and beat the Browns and seize even further control of this division, then I think you start feeling better, you know, even better about this team. But hey, they're 7-3. They're in first place. They're in a better position than most teams in this conference. And like I said, everyone's flawed. So you figure out a way to win these games despite being flawed, it's just going to help you that much more. And even if you don't feel like you're that great come late December, they're going to be in position to make the playoffs. And this team's going to make the playoffs. I have every amount of confidence, every bit of confidence that they're going to do that, short of losing Lamar Jackson long-term or something crazy like that. Just going to be a case of, are they going to battle it out for the number one seed, or are they going to be the four seed? And then we'll have to see where it is and know you're probably going to have to go on the road and come January.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke out on the social media thing. And you can find me anytime, anywhere as well, and email me, nasty@wnst.net. He is Luke@wnst.net. He'll be at Owings Mills all week when he's not having turkey with the family and the niece and all the Philadelphia fans up there. By the way, I'm going to Philly next week and seeing Barry Trotz, so get a little hockey fix in for me, as well as my turkey. On Friday, we're going to be having crab cake stuffing. We're having our crab cake tour brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be doing that in Abingdon, North Harford County, with our friends at Conrad's Crabs. I've had Conrad's Crabs before. I have not had Conrad's Crab Cake. So we're going to do that on Friday with Harford County Executive Barry Glassman. Also going to be joined by Eric Sauer from There Goes My Hero. And then next Friday, the 3rd of December, we'll be at Pappas in Cockeysville. Put more shows together. The beginning of the 30th anniversary tour starts in Catonsville at the Beaumont on the 9th. That's Thursday the 9th. And Don Moeller's putting together some guests there. Had a delicious steak and just great, great food at the Beaumont over at Catonsville. So make sure you're checking that out if you get an opportunity to do that. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, back from Chicago, Illinois, victorious and waiting on the Cleveland Browns. We are Baltimore Positive.